As we always begin, there are 111 psukim in Parshas Vayikra. 111 psukim, Kuf Yud Aleph, psukim in Parshas Vayikra. And obviously, the parsha brings us into the world of Karbanos. Truth is, there's a lot to say about the relationship. We have to think. In a leap year, we read Vayikra. Is usually Shabbos Zachar, and usually the Shabbos before Purim. It's the parsha that brings us into Purim. So you have to think, like, what's the connection between Karbanos? What's the link between the Inyan of Karbanos and the Inyan of Purim? Yeah, but Gemara, where the Malachim, when Achashverosh turns to his advisors, so the Gemara says that the Malachim and Shemayim, they darshan the names of all the advisors of Haman, refer to different types of Karbanos that the Jewish people brought. Right. Like it says Memuchan, which you know is a code name for Haman. So the angel said before Hashem, did the Umos HaOlam, did the nations of the world, did they ever prepare Memuchan to prepare? Did they ever prepare offerings before you? Did they ever set the Shulchan with the Lechem upon him? Like the Jewish people set it up for you? The showbread of the Lechem upon him? The Shulchan? And it goes through each of the names. Karshana, did the nations of the world ever bring before you a karben shana? Did they ever bring a karban before you? So they darshan each of the names of Achashverosh's advisors as being merames to a different karban, and saying, look, the Jews brought karbanos, you should spare them, and Achashverosh and his chevra are resham, but they need a karbanos, and its connection to Purim is interesting. Definitely something to think about. Again, we're not going to go into that now, but just something to think about. The parsha that we read before Yom Tov is always connected to the essence of that holiday. So what is the connection? What is the essential connection between Vayikra, the world of Karbanos, and the world of Karbanos and Purim? You have to think about that, what the relationship is. All right, I have to work on that. All right, so let's see. We'll start from the first piece. Vayikra El Moshe, how our parsha begins. Vayikra El Moshe, Kadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe, V'yedaver Hashem Elav Me'ol Moed Lemur. And Hashem spoke to Moshe from the Mishkan. Now what's the kasha? It's Rashi's kasha. Vayikra El Moshe, he called to Moshe, and he spoke to him from the Ol Moed. Why do you have to say he called to Moshe? Why do we need to know that Hashem called to Moshe? So, Rashi has quite a bit to say about this. I'll just read you the first Rashi. Rashi says that l'chol dibros u'l'chol amiros u'l'chol tzivuyim. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to speak to Moshe, or whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to amiras, vayomer, say to Moshe, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to mitzave Moshe, kodma kriya, it was always preceded by what? By a calling. Now, we don't find that by every pasuk. You don't find every time Hashem speaks to Moshe, it says Vayikra El Moshe. But Rashi seems to be telling us, based on the Medrash Toras Kohanim, that this pasuk reveals to us how Hashem spoke to Moshe. Before every Vayidaber, before every Vayomer, before every command, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first summoned Moshe, called to Moshe, called out to Moshe. What's the meaning of Kriya? Rashi says, Lashon Chiba. Calling is an expression of love, of affection. Lashon shemalachei hashareis mishtamshin bo. It's like the angels use when kara ze el ze, and they call to one another. It means that they want to connect to one another. A very, again, fitting to the book of Vayikra, which is the book of Karbanos. What's the point of a karban? Karban's kirvus. I want to be close. So it's fitting that Dafka, Chumash Vayikra, reveals to us that Hashem didn't just speak at Moshe. He didn't just say to Moshe. He called to Moshe. In other words, he invited him. He invited them in. He called to bring him close. Okay? Okay, but going back to our question, again, what's the Vayikra El Moshe and then Vayidaber? And our Rebbe is bothered by something else. Who called to Moshe? And he called to Moshe. Why doesn't it say Hashem called to Moshe? Why is it just Vayikra El Moshe and then Vayidaber Hashem Elav? You see? Vayikra El Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elav. Okay, so look at the first piece. Says our Rebbe, Hinei yesh lefarish al kushya mufursemes. I want to explain based on, again, the well-known kasha, shebekriya lo poyresh miyakore. It doesn't tell us, it's not mufurash, who's calling, right? Who's calling Moshe? And then Acher Kach Amar Vayedaber Hashem. And then right afterwards it says, and Hashem spoke. Hagam Shekvar Toloi Bezek Kol Shiltei Giboyrim Adas Kadoshim Bali Kabbalah. He said, and even though the great, the strong ones who came before me, the carriers of the Mesorah, the Bali Kabbalah, those, he says, everyone talks about this. Not like, not the first one to notice this question. It's the first Rashi in Vayikra. Obviously, the great warriors of Torah have already dealt with this kasha. Nonetheless, im kol zeh, rishus, lachor al pi pshuto. But a person has permission to try to delve and understand, make sense of things. So here's what I think. V'yesh lama al pi divrei chazal, sh'amru shalo nifsuka hanavua me'umas ha'olam. That there are prophets by the nations of the world. Or there were prophets by the nations of the world. Right? There was such a thing as nevuah that the Umas HaOlam had access to. In parentheses, Hagam Shabikesh Moshe Rachim Al Adavar, even though Moshe Rabbeinu requested, right, to not allow for such a thing, but there was such a thing as nevuah by the Umas HaOlam only Ad Shehukama Mishkan, until the Mishkan was established. But once the Mishkan was built, the Mishkan in a certain sense was the continuation of Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the moment where we married Hashem. When you're dating, you can date a number of people, but once you get married, you're married to one person. So therefore, Hashem used to communicate with the whole world. Umas HaOlam could also have nevuah. But once we got married and settled into our bias in the Mishkan, so then Hashem stopped speaking to the Umas HaOlam in that way. So the Pasuk is saying the following. Acher shesiper hakamas haMishkan. Now that we've completed at the end of Chumash Shemos building the Mishkan, Amar me'oz v'halav ayikrael Moshe. From this point forward, he only speaks to Moshe. Kodesh Baruch only speaks to Moshe. Rak leMoshe levado velo leNeviyei umas haOlam min hayom ulamala. Ayikrael Moshe. From this point forward, Kodesh Baruch Hu again communicates more exclusively with Moshe, and then it actually begins. V'acher kach siper midibar harishon v'yadaber Hashem elav, and then we kind of begin. So this first phrase, Vayikra al Moshe, is sort of a transition, right, from the old way that Hashem communicated with the world to the way that Hashem communicated with exclusivity to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, you'll say it didn't really answer the kasha. Right? We learned something deep and interesting. In other words, in a certain sense, Hashem's real speech that begins Vayikra starts with the words Vayadaber Hashem Elav Me'ol Moed Lemur. That's when Hashem starts speaking. Vayikra al Moshe is just creating that transition from Hashem speaking to the world to Hashem speaking exclusively to Moshe. But it still doesn't say Vayikra Hashem al Moshe. Why not? Now, it could be our Rebbe is going to go on and he's going to answer that a little bit more. But I'll tell you a Purim Dika Hergish that I mentioned a couple of times to some of you already, which is the Megillah is called an Igaris. Igaris means it's a letter. Rav Moshe Wolfson and other tzaddikim say it's a love letter. It's a love letter from Hashem to us. Megillah was a love letter from Hashem to us. If two people who love each other write each other a letter, right? So again, how would you sign such a letter? When you get to the bottom of the letter, what would you write? Right? So if it just says, imagine I wrote a love letter to my wife, or she wrote a love letter to me. I write her a long, emotional letter, and I sign it, love me. Right? Or I don't sign it at all. Does she know who it's from? Of course she knows who it's from. How does she know who it's from? How do I know who it's from? How do two people who love each other send a letter to each other? How do they know who it's from if it doesn't, if it's not officially signed? Sincerely, your husband, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. Right? How would she know it's from me? She knows it's from me because of the language, right? Because of the handwriting, because of the everything about it expresses, right? If this is a person I'm deeply connected to, I don't need. I get a letter from a stranger, so they'll introduce themselves, they'll say who it is, and they'll sign it formally. Right, maybe they'll put their credentials at the bottom, you know, that people have at the bottom of their email. Right, but if it's from someone who you're deeply connected to, so now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going exclusive with Klai, so now that we're married, again, we're not just trying to get, Hashem originally was, you know, kiviyachol dating the world. Anyone could have married Hashem. Hashem offered the Torah to anyone. But once we got married, Vayikra al Moshe, that chiba, that love, this exclusivity of no longer communicating with the Umas HaOlam, Hashem does it. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressing his love for Moshe Rabbeinu. We know who it's from. We know who called it. And he called to Moshe. Who called to Moshe? I wonder who it is. Of course it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Torah gets back to the formalities. Vayedaber Hashem Elov Me'o'omoed Lemor. That's more the formal style of writing of the Chumash. But the love letter doesn't have to be signed. I think that's maybe part of the pshat here. Okay, let's keep going. The next paragraph. V'yomer Od, but let's say further. Al pi Maimer Chazal. This is a great Maimer Chazal. Remember, I told you once that Rav Soloveitchik said that if the non-Jews of the world realized how much we were davening for them on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they would buy us our machzar. They would pay for our machzar. Right? On Rosh Hashanah, we're davening for the world. We're not just davening for Klal Yisrael. We're not davening for ourselves. Every Rosh Hashanah, we're davening for humanity. So Rav Soloveitchik once quipped. He said, he joked. He said, if the Umas HaOlam knew how much we were doing a service for them, right? So they would pay for our machzar. They'd buy us a nice new machzar. Okay, but look at this. Similar idea. Says the Medrash. Sha'amru Allah, Sha'amru ilu hayu umos ha'olam yodin. Kamo o'el mo'ed yafalahem. If the nations of the world appreciated and understood how good what? The Mishkan was for them. Azai hayu makifin oso b'klei zayin. Then they would circle the Mishkan with weapons, like armed guards. Leval yishletu bo yedei achirim chas v'sham. They would protect our Mishkan. If they knew how good the Mishkan was for them, for the world, not just for Klal Yisrael, the Umas HaOlam would pay for security for the Mishkan. Interesting measures. What's the pshat? Why was it good for them? You know why it was good for them? Not in an ironic kind of way. It was good for them because once Hashem finally decided to take interest exclusively with Klal Yisrael, so then the nations of the world felt less bothered by the divine presence. Because Hashem is the God of everyone. Right? Hashem is the Melech of the world. Hashem is the God of everyone, whether you like it or not. Some people recognize Hashem, some people don't. But once the Jews kind of built the space for Hashem, so the Umas HaOlam actually felt better in a sad kind of way that God was done with them. Of course, Hashem's not mamish done with them. Right? But says the Medrash, continuing in the words of the Medrash, Ki kodem shehu kam ha-mishkan, because before there was a Mishkan, where the voice of Hashem would emanate from, Hayu HaKol Yotze, then the word of God, the voice of Hashem would be heard beyond the Mishkan, obviously throughout the world, would resound in the world, Vayu Umas HaOlam Nitrozin Mitoch Pniktehem. And the Umas HaOlam could not control their bowels. That's what it means. Nitrozin Mitoch Pniktehem means they were so overwhelmed by the voice of Hashem. Again, I don't know what that means. Obviously, not everyone hears the Dvar Hashem in the world, right? But there was a sense of a godly presence that was, I don't know, that was overwhelming. So once Hashem decided to adopt Klal Yisrael and to build a Mishkan and to limit his voice to a particular people in a particular location, so to speak, of course, it's not literally true, you can hear it, the voice of Hashem is everywhere. But on a certain level, there was a focusing of the Dvar Hashem. So the nations of the world, they were less overwhelmed by Hashem. Hashem was now busy with Klal Yisrael. So now we're not so scared of God anymore. They were literally relieving themselves, right, without control. They couldn't control their bowels because they were overwhelmed by Hashem's presence in the world. From the time the Mishkan was built, so then the Dvar Hashem, the call of Hashem was directed to the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu was midaber towards, speaking towards, from the Ohel Moed. And that's what it means, Mishahu kam ha-mishkan, now that we finished the book of Shemos, when we built the Mishkan, Vayikra el Moshe levado, Hashem calls to Moshe, with, again, exclusivity, B'tzimtzum ha-kol, the Mishkan kaviyachol, with the limitations of the voice resounding within the Mishkan, and then afterwards Hashem begins to speak. And that's the pasuk. Again, the continuation of the pasuk. Vayedaber Hashem Elov Me'o'omoed Lemor. But Vayikra El Moshe, right? Again, the joy of the world, knowing that Hashem is speaking specifically to Moshe for the nations of the world, that was something that they were very happy about. That. They were happy to see that Hashem was no longer bothering them. Okay. All right, two short pieces to get us started. All right, let's turn the page. Let's come to Rashi. In the right-hand column on Kuf Yud Beis. Vihine Rashi Zal, coming back to Rashi. Vihine Rashi Zal al pi ha medrash kavanaso gam kin letaritzanal. Rashi again is also bothered by the question. The first two pieces didn't really answer our question, which is, why doesn't it say Hashem's name? It just says Vayikra El Moshe, and then Vayidaber Hashem Elav. So why doesn't it say Vayikra Hashem El Moshe? So Rashi, again, several Rashis here, but Rashi, based on the Medrash, is perhaps going to answer this question. What's his answer? What's he alluding to? Upire Shama Sha'amar Vayikra El Moshe, Hu Klal Al Kol HaDivros. Again, this Vayikra El Moshe is not a one-time God call to Moshe. Every time, Rashi begins Chumash Vayikra, every time Hashem spoke or said or commanded Moshe, L'chol Dibros, Rashi says, L'chol Amiros, L'chol Tzivuyim, there's always a Kriya that comes first. Shekadma Aleim Kriya, Hashem first called to Moshe, why? Hu Lashon Chiba, Rashi says. Again, based on the Medrash, but it's an expression of Hashem's love. Okay? Reading inside, Lashon Shemolachei Asharis Mishdam Shembo. It's the language that what? That the angels use, V'kara Zeh El Zeh, where the angels call out to each other as an expression of closeness, of kirvus. V'nei Adayin Lo Neida, Lama Lo Pairish Hashem B'kriya. Why doesn't it say the Shem Hashem when by the call? It just says Vayikra El Moshe. Why doesn't it say Vayikra Hashem El Moshe? Again, my Rebbe is very bothered by that question. Perhaps we can answer this by asking a further question. Why is calling an expression of chiba? Why is Hashem calling to Moshe? I would think the fact that God chose to speak to Moshe is also chiba. If Hashem talks to you, he's interested in you, that's called chiba. Why do you need a vayikra al Moshe? How is kriya a lashon of chiba? So he says something very deep. Hu ki kriya hu lashon hashpa mimashpia l'makabel. A kriya, a call, right? Calling someone and getting their attention is what? Is somehow having a hashpa upon that person from the mashpia to the makabel. Then I'm somehow connecting to you and creating this what? Creating this transfer of energy. Like the Targum translates on the Pasuk, V'kara Zeh El Zeh in Yeshaya, U'mekablin Dein Mendein, like we say every morning in Uval Tzion. U'mekablin Dein Mendein, V'kara Zeh El Zeh, interesting. They call to each other. How does the Targum translate it? That they receive from one another. Kriya is a lashon of what? A lashon of connecting in a way that there's, again, a hashpa, a mashpia, and a makabel, a give and take. When a person receives a hisoiris, an arousal, an awakening from someone else, that's called a kriya. That's called a kriya. When someone else, again, awakens something within someone else, arouses something within someone else, that's called a kriya. That's called the summoning of the person. So let's remember the fundamental difference between Moshe's prophecy and the other prophets. Shekol ha-Neviim kashahayu rotzim linavos hayu tzrichim lahachin atzmam b'isarusa d'letata b'isbodedus v'spashas hagashmias. When any other Navi wanted to experience Nevuah, he needed to prepare himself within isarusa d'letata. He had to try to get Hashem's attention. He had to try to make himself worthy or make himself the type of person who Hashem would want to call to. How do you do that? Bisboididis. He would separate himself. Hispashtas hagashmias. He would disconnect from physicality. He would try to ready himself spiritually to receive a nevuah, a prophecy. And even after all that, him called Zeh lo b'chol eis ba'lehem ha-nevuah be'eis hisarusam. And even when the Navi was really eager to receive, he wanted to connect. He prepared himself. He tried to get Hashem's attention. It didn't always work. Because sometimes the advances of the Navi to try to get Hashem's attention, that Hashem should desire this Navi, it didn't work. Masha'ein kein Adonenu Moshe. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the loving bond between Hashem and Moshe, the kriya, the chiba, the deep love that existed between Moshe and what? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was such that Moshe, and again, it's a delicate point to say, could get Hashem's attention at any time. Hashem was always in the mood for Moshe. Moshe was always in the mood for Hashem. No one's always in the mood for someone. No one's always in the mood to be with someone else. Right? husband and wife who love each other. They don't always want to be together. And there is a little bit of a sexual innuendo here that the Rebbe, you'll see, he's being sensitive to that. He has a couple pieces in this parsha where he talks about the intimate relationship, right, between Chassan and Kala, between Kuchavrichu and Shchinte, between Hashem and us. But even without the sexual undertones, right? I'm not talking about being in an intimate sense. Even just being around, you don't always want to be around the same, even the person you love the most. You don't always want to, everyone needs a little space sometimes. So a Navi would try to get Hashem's attention, right? Would try to kiviyachol arouse HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take interest in the Navi, but it didn't always work. Moshe Rabbeinu was muchan umezuman. Moshe was panim el panim, was always face to face with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol eis shayrotza, whenever Moshe wanted lenavos hayu menave, he would have nevuah. He could be with Hashem in that deep way whenever he wanted. V'teikav niskabel his oiris ritzono, and Moshe was able to again arouse that desire within a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When he wanted to be with Hashem, when he wanted to be connected to Hashem, it always worked. V'ne'al piya amor. Tuchal is bonin betov, ki kriya hu lashon chiba. So now we understand vayikra el Moshe, and it probably goes in both directions. I don't know which way the Rebbe is emphasizing more, that Moshe could get Hashem's attention, that Hashem could get Moshe's attention, because it goes both ways. Right? Even when Hashem takes interest in us, we're not always in the mood. We're not always interested. There's a it's an eis ratzon. That means that there's a his oiris in the olamos. And so the person who's tapped in is, wow, I want to receive, I want to connect to Hashem. But a person who's checked out, even when Hashem is reaching out to him, is still not receiving. V'day b'zel l'maska. And I've said enough, says the Rebbe, for one who understands. V'amr b'kan akosav darga d'moshe. So now we understand the lofty madrega Moshe, the chiba. Again, the intimate connection between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yikra el Moshe. Kodem l'chol adibros v'atzivuyim ha'yikriya. There was always what? There was always a kriya hainu, kabbalah sheniskabla kiviyachol his oris ritzono tamid. That there was always this, again, this ever readiness to be awakened, to be receiving, to be connected. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu could give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a look and Hashem would look back or call out to Hashem and Hashem would be ready. The fact that Moshe could demand Hashem's presence and attention whenever he wanted it, right? It's a very delicate thing. It's a very delicate thing. So therefore, it just says, Vayikra el Moshe, that he called to Moshe, there was a chiba there. It doesn't say Hashem's name, because when you're dealing with something of such a delicate and intimate nature, he quotes again the phrase, Kvod Elokim Haster Davar, it's a pasuk. That the honor of Hashem is sometimes in concealment. You can't talk so openly about such a thing, right? Saying that Moshe Rabbeinu Kiviyachol could arouse HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interest in him whenever he wanted, and vice versa. Right? It's a very, that a human being could have such an intimate and deep and close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah calls Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem's friend. So to have such a level of kirvus is a delicate thing. So it's a little bit concealed. That's why it's Vayikra El Moshe. Right? Vayikra El Moshe. Let's say Vayikra Hashem El Moshe. Because this level of Vayikra is such a deep bond that the Torah says it in a delicate way, a refined way. Very interesting. Okay, a lot to think about here. All right, Chavar, let's go weiter. Let's turn the page. Let's turn the page or not turn the page. Let's go to Kuf Yud Dalid. Yeah, Kuf Yud Dalid in the bottom right-hand corner. The Rabbi spends a lot of time on the Midrashim in this week's Parsha. A lot of small pieces on the Midrashim. But let's understand something more about Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah versus every other Navi. Okay, take a look. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, bottom right-hand corner on Kuf Yud Dalet. Amar Rabbi Tanchum bar Chaniloi. Bin noeg sheba olam, the way of the world, masui shekosha le'echad v'chulo, noach l'shnayim. That which is too heavy for one person to carry, or is burdensome for one person to carry, if two people carry it, it's noach, it's easier, it's better. Umoshe shomeya kola dibor atzmo v'chaya. So we got to fill in the gap a little bit. Got to look up the medrash. Okay, you can't be successful in these svarim if you're going to be lazy. If he quotes a medrash, you don't always talk about. You can skip the piece, or you can sit down and take out a medrash and look it up. Okay, so I looked up the medrash. What does the medrash say? Something that's too heavy for two people to carry. For one person to carry, two people can carry. It makes it easier. And yet here, the voice of Hashem, which was so overwhelming for what? For all of Klal Yisrael, for 600,000. At Har Sinai, we were completely overwhelmed by the voice of Hashem. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu could handle it himself. You hear? Klal Yisrael collectively, Har Sinai, couldn't handle the voice of Hashem. And here, Vayikra al Moshe, that's a appella, right? Again, Moshe Shomea Kol Hadibur, that Moshe could hear the word of Hashem, Atzmo, by himself, Vichaya, and to live. And he could absorb it. Must have been a huge person, Moshe Rabbeinu. Must have been mamish a big person. It's a big deal. Wow. All right. Teda lecha shuke. And how do you know this is so, says the Medrash? Shemikulan lo kara el Moshe. Because Hashem obviously felt he can call out to Moshe. Moshe is a kli, is a receptacle, ready to receive. Lekach nemar v'yikra el Moshe. But Klal Yisrael as a whole couldn't even handle collectively couldn't handle the voice of Hashem. Hinei bal ha-maymer shehischil reishas ha-psicha v'kavanasu al ha-siyum d'boi letaritz ma'u kavana v'yikra el Moshe havi leila hastil v'yedaber k'mo b'chol makom. Again, the Rebbe wants to know, the puzzle could have been written the other way around. V'yedaber Hashem elav me'ol moed v'yikra el Moshe. Hashem spoke, right? Like it always begins, Hashem spoke. And in doing so, what did he do? Vayikra al Moshe. Why is it Vayikra al Moshe first? Okay. V'gam lo nemar Vayikra Hashem al Moshe. And again, the same question we've asked now four times. Right? Why is it not Vayikra Hashem al Moshe? Why is it just Vayikra al Moshe? So says the Rebbe, the top of the left column, Imkain. Inu mevur mihu akori. As such, we don't know who's calling. And therefore, explains the Medrash, Al kain pirish de hakavana. De hakosuv mashmianu kochel shal Moshe. Shahaya Yachol Lisbol Kol Hakriya. It shows us the strength of Moshe that he was able to what? To handle, to be sovel, to bear the voice, that call of Hashem. She'ein Yacholes L'samach Ribo L'shmoa. What 600,000 could not handle, Moshe Rabbeinu could handle. V'tavin Masha Amru Chazal. And with this we understand the level of Moshe's Nevuah. Kol HaNevi'im, all the other prophets, had nevuah on the level of what? Of aspaklaria she'ena me'ira. Like looking through, what do you define an aspaklaria she'ena me'ira? A magnifying glass. Interesting. Interesting. What do you mean by that?
I don't know. That's what I remember.
Aspaklaria she'ena me'ira. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the level of aspaklaria me'ira. Well, one way to say it, right, is looking through, I don't know, a clear window, right, versus some type of tinted window. Aspaklaria she'ena me'ira means it's glass, but it's ena me'ira. It doesn't allow full illumination. It doesn't allow the light to pass through it entirely. Right, say again?
Transparent, translucent,
exactly. Transparent, translucent. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see clearly, like looking through a window, right? But others, they were when others would see the sea, a nevuah, it was a little bit hazy. It was a little bit cloudy. Yeah.
You're looking into a mirror. The more you see yourself, the more you don't see the whole picture. You only see it's the landscape. You don't see yourself.
Okay, good. So pause here for this piece since you brought that up for a second. Just look at the next page, that middle paragraph where it says Shom Yodalid. You see that on Kuf Tezvav? Right-hand column. Let's just pause for a second since Mark brought it up. It's a good point. He's quoting, again, based on the Medrash. And then we'll come back to the other piece. Moshe ra mitoch aspachlaria mutzuch tzachas. You see? Moshe saw through glass that was what? That was clean. Clean glass. Right? Not like these dirty windows that could use a good scrubbing. Kibalti lahavin inyan. Dechol lanaviyim ra mitoch aspachlaria she'ina me'ira. We know from the Gemara in Yevamos Mem Tes that all the other prophets saw through what? Through some type of clouded glass. Right? Or Mark saying maybe the difference between what? A piece of glass, right? And a mirror. How much am I seeing my own reflection? Umi shiroa b'aspaklaria she'ina me'ira. A person who's looking through what? Through an aspaklaria she'ina me'ira. Me'eiver le'eiver hine roa es atzmo. Because it's what? Because it's not clear, so he sees more of himself. He's able to see more of his own reflection in that glass. It's reflecting something of himself. Masha'in kein Moshe lo ra'as atzmo. You know how to have a more full nevuah? You know how to have a clear nevuah? Get yourself out of the way. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu. So because Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble, ki amar v'nachnu ma, Moshe said, what am I? So through being mevatel himself, he made more space to let the light of Hashem into his life. That's a nice pshat in Aspak La'ayim Ira. You hear? The more you clean off the schmutz of you, right, and you get yourself out of the way, so then you just allow the purity of Hashem's light, which is really your neshama radiating inside of you, to shine. Because he was mevatel himself entirely to Hashem. And when you're mevatel yourself entirely to Hashem, so you're able to receive much more easily from Hashem. Right? There's a level of nevuah we're able to achieve. Maybe this level, aspaklai mira on Purim. When we revatal ourselves on Purim, when we really give ourselves over to a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Purim, maybe that's where a person's able to, right? Nichlas yayin yatsa sod. What's the sod? You're saying something that you didn't think you're sharing secrets, you didn't want to. What's the secret? What are the secrets that come out? The secrets are all of a sudden you're a prophet. You know? Like the Navi says, Agam Shol ben Avim, all of a sudden, when did you become a prophet? Right? All of a sudden, the person becomes a prophet. It's a wild thing. Okay, but let's go back to the other piece for a second. So again, so we know that there's this distinction between Moshe and Shar Nevi'im. That Moshe Rabbeinu has Aspaklaria Me'ira, and other Nevi'im is called Aspaklaria She'ena Me'ira. Okay? So take a look. So says our Rebbe, going back to Kuf Yud Dalet, in the left column. So he says, again, like Gemara Yevamos, Aspaklaria She'ena Me'ira versus Aspaklaria Me'ira. What does that mean, Aspaklaria She'ena Me'ira Me'ira? Hakavana al yidei hiskalus nevuah b'shchina hushem aleph dalid nun and yud. Okay. So there's Hashem again as the essence of Hashem, and there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu as manifest in this world. We don't know anything about the essence of Hashem. We can't say anything about the essence of Hashem. We can't understand the essence of Hashem. It's beyond our capacity. But then there's Hashem as manifest in this world. We'll call it Shechina. We'll call the name Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yod. We'll call it Malchus. Gotta get used to our new room. All right, we'll call it Malchus. We'll call it the lowest of the Sphiros. Right? L'sakein oylem b'malchus shakai. In a world of limitation. A world of constriction. Right? A world of limitation. You have to understand, there's a game we're playing. That's kind of what I was trying to say the other night with the Rubenstein. There's a little bit of this game that we're playing on Purim, right? Of again trying to unify Hashem out there and Hashem down here to put together the two worlds and show that it's not actually two worlds, it's really one world, right? Show that it's really all one and the same. So it's Yadua from the Shlach Kadosh and other tzaddikim. It's that piece that Jack Katz sent to the chat yesterday, right? That the Megillah can be read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tesvav. Anyone saw Jack? Jack sent it, though. Yeah, so what does it say? Who did the quote there? Did it say who he was quoting from? Briskuna Soilam, Shlach Kadosh. Different tzaddikim say it. That opening Mishnah, Masechet Megillah says what? The Megillah can be read when? 11, 12, 13, 14th, or 15th of Adar. Yeah? Lo Pachos, Velo Yoiser. Okay, so what's 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 in Gematria? It's 65. That's Hashem's name. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud, the way that we pronounce it. Okay? Lo pachos v'lo yoser means what? You can't read the Megillah when? On the 10th. You can't read the Megillah on the 16th. 10 plus 16 is 26. That's Yud Kei Vavke. That's Hashem's name. Right? The way that it, the etzem is, but we don't pronounce it that way. We're not able to say it that way. Okay? So somehow there's the atzmius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I don't really know how to put into words. And then there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the way that I again, I'm saying it different than I see it. I perceive it. I see it, Kevavke, but I have to. I'm not ready to say that, right? Because I feel like I can't grasp that fully. Okay, so again, Yud Kevavke, in a certain sense, is you know the top part of the Sphiros. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is the name of Hashem that corresponds to Malchus, the bottom of the Sphiros, and we're trying to unify them. The Megillah is playing this interesting game with us. On the one hand, the Megillah is very limited, right? There's no name of Hashem in the Megillah. Right, Rubenstein was speaking a little bit about the name Shin, Dalet, and Yod. He said, Shakai is Gematria what? What did he say? Who remembers? You don't remember what he said? Mordechai HaYehudi is 314. It's Shin, Dalet, and Yod. Right, Mordechai is 274. HaYehudi is 30. Mordechai HaYehudi is Gematria Shin, Dalet, Yod. Yeah? Shindal idea that the Shem Shakai is that when Hashem was making the world, Sha'amar la'olam odai. He said, that's enough. Stop there. It's a limitation. Shindal idea means limitation. The Megillah, in a certain sense, is totally in a world of limitation, in the sense that what? It doesn't have Hashem's name in it. Forget not pronouncing it the way that it's actually written. It doesn't have Hashem. We don't say it even a different way than it's written. It's not there. In fact, you could say the following. What's the first word of the Megillah? Vayehi. What's the matter of Vayehi? Vayehi is 31. What's the last word of the Megillah?
Zara.
What's the matter of Zaro? Zion, Resh, Ayin, Vav. 283. What's 283 plus 31? The first word plus the last word. 314. So what do you see about the Megillah? 314 is the name of Hashem, Shin, Dal, and Yod, which is constriction, is limitation. So on one end, you're looking at this book, and you're like, this is a very limited text. You see, Chazal was struggling to even put this into Nach. Is this a holy book? It doesn't have Hashem's name. It's literally, you know, in these boundaries. The first word and the last word is Gemash HaShakai. It's very limited. It's a very limited book. On the other hand, as we've seen many times, no? The Halakha Rambam, that what? It's the ultimate book. It's going to slam when Mashiach comes and all the other Sifrei Nach are battle. This book is forever. Promise forever. True Asam Ayisal HaNetzach. Right? So what is this book?
What do you say about
Mordechai Yehudi is 314.
I'm saying, like, why is that?
Why is Mordechai related to Shakai? Why is Mordechai Yehudi Shakai? What's the limitation of Mordechai? Mordechai is sort of accepting reality for what it is. Mordechai represents, right? Mordechai hears a bad decree and he's fasting and he's crying. He's wearing sackcloth. Esther represents going beyond limitations. She's the one who goes into the king and breaks the rules. Right? Mordechai also broke the rules. He didn't bow to Haman. But we saw Kedushas Levi said that was the rule. He was allowed to not bow down to Haman. Right? That was Kedasu Kedin. Mordechai hears bad news and he's crying with the people. Why? Because bad is bad. Esther's the one who has to go in, mamish, to breach the boundaries, to go beyond, you know, the world of Shakai, Shin, Dalet, and Yud. Right? But I don't know. It's a good question. Why is Mordechai the Zohar? Mordechai is also, you know, beyond. Why is Mordechai Yehudi Gematria 314? I don't know. But again, you see there's like this game that we're playing within the Megillah, right? And again, we see it in the dates of the opening Mishnah Maseches Megillah. On the one hand, we read the Megillah on what? We can experience the Megillah on 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, which is Gematria 65, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. That's this world, right? Lo Pachos v'lo Yosef, but we can't touch the 10th and the 16th, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So on the one hand, you feel like the Megillah is so limiting. On the other hand, it's supposed to be so beyond. So, Chevra, there's something called Aspaklaria She'enu Me'ira. Seeing Hashem when it's fuzzy, when it's cloudy. That's a nevuah on the level of Shechina, on the level of Hashem's name, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. Hu Hashem Shemutar Lezachro. It's a name we're allowed to say. And that's why it's called Dibor, Vahu Nikra Dibor. It's the part that you're allowed to say out loud. Vahashem Havaya. But there's also the name of Hashem as it's written. And that's called Aspaklaria Me'ira. That's called seeing it so clear that you don't even say it. It's a deep idea, no? It's not that you can't say it. Right? Again, it's just like the love letter. It's silly to say it. It's silly to sign the love letter with your full, you know, legal name. It's so clear that you don't have to say it. V'hu eina nikra b'dibor rak behelem. You can't say it. It's a world of concealment. Alkei nikra kol. Therefore, it's called kol. What's the difference between dibor and kol? Which part of speech is dibor? Which part of my mouth makes dibor? Tongue makes dibor. What else makes dibor? Teeth make dibor. Cheeks. My lips. My palate. Where's kol? Kol is guttural, right? Kol is just it's the letter aleph and hey and het and ayin. Right? It's just a breath of life. Right? As opposed to my mouth, my lips, my teeth, which are all, you know, like shaping and forming, right? It's just it's the breath of air within me. It's the v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. That's why we have four cups of wine at the Seder. You know this part? Why do we have four cups of wine at the Seder? One of the reasons that we celebrate, one of the things that we're celebrating when we left Mitzrayim is that the Dibur left Galus. So you'll ask Akasha, but there are five parts of speech. The letters, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are divided into five sections of speech. Says the Sfas Emes, why do we have four cups of wine? There should be five cups of wine. So you'll say, Eliyahu's cup, we have a fifth cup, okay, maybe. The answer is, Dibur was enslaved in Mitzrayim. Kol was never enslaved in Mitzrayim. Kol represents HaKol Kol Yaakov, the deepest voice that emerges. Right, that was never in captivity. Dibur was in captivity. Kol was never in captivity. Kol represents something that can't be, right? That can't be contained in any way. And therefore, includes the Rebbe. Vehinei, Yisrael Samech Ribo, the 600,000 Jews, Lo Hayucholin Lisbol HaKol, they couldn't handle the kol of Hashem. That was too intense for them. That's why they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Im yoyshim anachtu lishmo es kol Hashem v'chulu. If we continue to hear the call of Hashem, we're not going to make it. It's too much. But Moshe Ba'atzmo, who had the level of Aspaklaria Me'ira, and again, we learned, the way you get there is by negating yourselves, by having the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe made himself a kli that was able to absorb the call. Moshe Ba'atzmo hayisovel ha'kol. And that's the Vayikra El Moshe. So you know why Hashem's name is not written in the Pasuk? Because you can't say Hashem's name when you're on the level of kol. When you're on the level of Aspaklaria Me'ira. When you're face-to-face with Hashem, it's silly to say Hashem's name. When it's cloudy, and when it's shrouded, and when it's concealed, when it's Vayidaber, then Vayidaber Hashem, right? Then we can say Vayidaber Adonai, right? A love me'ol mo'ed lemur. You can say, again, we don't say it Yud Kevavke, we say it Aleph Dal Nun Yud. But when it's a Vayikra, when it's talking about that level of connectivity, that represents the name of Hashem that cannot be pronounced. Lahoros Shakara Oso, Misha Inoniskar B'dibur. Who called him? The one who I can't even mention. That aspect of Hashem, right, that can't even be put into words, is the part that communicated with Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? I told you, these pieces are hard. They're a little bit deeper than maybe some of the other ones that we've seen. All right, Chava, let's do one more. And this is the best one in terms of a lesson for us. Kuftas Zion. Adam ki Yaakov mikem karban Hashem. Okay, the Rebbe says something pashut, clear, fundamental. Let's see. Second pasuk in the parsha. Okay, the parsha begins again. Hashem calls to Moshe. It doesn't say Hashem, just says Vayikra al Moshe. Hashem speaks to him. Vayidaber Hashem may love me. Oh, moed lemur. Dabrel b'nei Yisrael va'amart aleihem. Convey the following message to the Jewish people. Adam ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. When a person wants to bring a offering to Hashem, min habakar u'min hatzon takrivu es karbanchem. He could bring cattle, he could bring from the flocks, he should bring an offering. And then it goes on to tell us what type of karban, what type of animal, v'chulu. That's what our parsha is about, 111 psukim. Okay? But says our Rebbe, and it's an important vart, and what does it mean to be close to Hashem? What does it mean to again, it's very parmdik. What does it mean to give ourselves over to Hashem? Because you could drink a parm and not really surrender yourself to Hashem. You could get yourself into all sorts of trouble. I'll just tell you, we're going to have a shir in a little bit on Tanis Esther. We'll learn about the history of Tanis Esther a little bit, try to understand it. But I brought along the Sefer Kav HaYashar. I was going to tell you in the Gemara Shir, but I'll tell it to you now since it's interesting. And we have some Chashim guests who don't come to Gemara Shir. Okay, V'yesh Otam L'Tanis Esther. Listen to this, the Kav HaYashar. Yeah? The Kav HaYashar, a very deep Sefer. Let's see here's Koydenover. Here's what he writes. In Perek Tzadi Zayin. V'yesh Otam L'Tanis Esther. You know why we have Tanis Esther? Before Purim? He says, I'll tell you what the Magid revealed to Laharav Beis Yosef Zal. I'll tell you what the Magid revealed to Rav Yosef Cairo. Who's the Magid? The Magid was a Malach, right? We have a Sefer called Magid Mesharim. There was, right? There's this ability to contact Magidim, like Malachim. And the Beis Yosef had a Chavrus with a Malach. And we have the Sefer. I have it at home. It's called Magid Mesharim. He told them all sorts of interesting things. So in the Magid Mesharim, in Parshas Vayakel, The Maggid told Rabbi Yosef Karo, I want to tell you the essence of the secret of Tanis Esther. And it's a simple secret. It's an important secret. Since Hashem is always watching out for us, and Hashem wants us to be tzaddikim, He wants us to be tzaddikim because we are tzaddikim. Hashem wants to make sure that we're going to be good, proper Jews who get olam haba. So when the 14th arrives, Leos Yisrael Smechim V'Sosim Bo, where we celebrate and we really celebrate. Al Tokef Haneis Sha'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu Bahaman Arashu V'Banu V'Shar Soni Yisrael. How Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us with unbelievable miracles, again, concealed within nature, but miraculous nonetheless, where Hashem saved us from Haman and his sons and all the other Soni Yisrael, all the other haters of the Jewish people, all the other anti-Semites. V'az Hi Nikrei Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And Hashem wants to make sure that that celebration that we're going to have on Sunday, right, on Purim, is going to be a proper one. And it's a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And therefore Hashem wants us to celebrate that with everything, to give it our all. But, let's be honest, Chayiv Inish L'Besumim Puraya, we've all met a person, unfortunately, in our life, who has used alcohol in the wrong way. V'hinei yesh lachush. And therefore there's a reason to be concerned. The Maggid told the Beis Yosef. Malach told this to the Beis Yosef. There's reason to be concerned. Pen al yedei riboy ha'achila ushasiya v'simcha ba'in Yisrael lidei chet. Sometimes too much food and too much drink can bring a person to averos. Lachain hikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu atanis. So Hashem says, I want to give you a day of tshuva before you even get into this mess. And before things get rowdy, I want you to do tshuva beforehand. Because atanis is a segula to protect. We're davening today, we're protecting ourselves. We're creating a protection for ourselves so that nothing chas v'shalom goes wrong. That our suda doesn't become suda sachashverosh. You understand? V'loya koach la satan. And lil, lamed yod lamed. The name of the Sitra Achra, the klipa of the feminine negativity. L'katrig aleim. That there should be no kitrig against us. That they should say, look, they're still partying like Achashverosh's party. L'avim lidei chet machmas riboy achilo shasiya. God forbid. God forbid we should come to that. And therefore it's important, he says, to make this a day of tefillah. And we say slichos and lots of things that we do. Tzarech l'chavin shalo yavo lidei chet v'avon chas v'shalom. Davin, that Hashem should protect you on Purim. That the riboy achilu ushasi of a simchas Purim should not, God forbid, lead to any inappropriate behavior, which of course it can. So Hashem was hikdim refuah lamaka. Hashem gave us the solution before we encounter what could be the problem. Okay, halavai we should know from it. Okay, but in that vein, says our Rebbe, we'll end with this: Adam ki yakriv mikem karban laHashem. You want to bring a karban to Hashem? That's nice. You want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's beautiful. You want to be connected, you want to go deep, great. But it's not going to be enough. If a person gets caught up in the chitzonius of anything, then it's not going to be a karban, it's not going to be kirvus, it's not going to be closeness. Okay? If you're going to fall in love with someone for their chitzonius, it's not going to be a deep relationship. It can't be. Someone asked me this week, actually, a guy not in our shir. Asked me, he said, Rebbe, to what degree should a person be attracted to the person that they marry? I said, they have to be. Of course you have to be. It's absurd to think otherwise. What is attraction? Okay, each person has to figure that out. But I said, don't make it into such a complicated sugya. I said, you go on a first date, and you're not sure. So by the second or third date, you should have enough of a sense. Again, attraction evolves and it grows. Of course it is. Right? But it's not going to go from definitely not to definitely yes. That doesn't usually happen. That's not a normal evolution of things. Hashem gave a person, different people are attracted to different people in different ways, and that's stay there and be normal about it. But it's of course so the chitzonius matters. I'm not saying the chitzonius doesn't matter, right? But if you marry someone because you think she's pretty, you're attracted to the chitzonius. It's not gonna be it. There's no way that can be. There can't be real kirvus in that. So, Adam ki akriv mikem karban lashem in a behema v'chulu. Lahavin tevas mikam. Why does it say a person has to bring mikam from yourself? Right? Karv lepshuto. I want to say just a pashup shot. Dinei imchata adam. If a person does an avera, let's remind ourselves what the Ramban tells us and other tzaddikim tell us. Meharoi lahakrivas atzma lifnei Hashem. You should be the karban. You're the one who broke the rules. So you should be the sacrifice. You should have to give yourself up. You should have to sit out. Surrender yourself from this game. Hashem put you in this game. You got to play by the rules. And Hashem says, because I know it's only the animal side of you that did this avera, right? Not the holy neshama side of you. So I let you bring in a behema in your place, in your stead. But look how the Rebbe, again, it's an idea that's really found in Rishonim, but he's saying it in his own deep way. When a person does smicha, and he puts his hands on the animal, and he leans all of his weight onto that animal, he pushes down on that animal with all of his weight. Laharos, he's transferring himself. Laharos, shahayim meharoi limser kol kochos nafsho elav yisparach. He's saying, really, I should have to give up all of my being for you, Hashem. Both in the positive, and now that I messed up, I should have to give back all the kochos you gave me because I'm not using them in the right way. I should give them back to you, Hashem. And when he's doing that in a real way, in a sincere way, and he's leaning on this animal that's going to be shechted and offered as a karbon, he should be doing this with tears in his eyes, crying. He should be doing it with feelings of tshuva shleima. V'im kein hu makiv nafsho gam kein bekoach lefanav yisbarach. Because if he brings before a Kadosh Baruch Hu a ruach nishbra, a broken spirit, that's not the same as depression, God forbid, but he brings what? A humility before Hashem, and he's makiv nafsho in that way. He transfers his emotional self onto this animal, which will be the physical carbon. Then he fulfills what David HaMelech said. Again, what does the pasuk say? Zivche Elokim, the offerings of Hashem. More, Hashem doesn't need an animal. Hashem doesn't need an animal. What Hashem needs is Zivche Elokim, the offerings of Hashem, the Zevach of Hashem, the Karbanos of Hashem, Ruach Nishbra, is a humbled spirit. That's called giving something up for Hashem. Masha'ein came kisha'ein ozoveach es Yitzro. But if he thinks he's just going to give a token donation to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's going to be sufficient, if he doesn't, what? Shecht is Yitzhar Abba, Kravas HaKarban. Ve'ein oshav u'mischarit, and there's no tshuva, there's no charata. So then says our Rebbe, I hate to break it to you, but ma betza ba'kravas ha'behema. Then what is accomplished by offering this animal? About such an attitude, we have psukim. About such a person, it says in Tehillim, al zeh nemar, im erav lo omar lach v'chulu. Im erav, if I was hungry, which of course Hashem is not hungry, but do I really need you to feed me? Would I ask you? I have everything. If I was really hungry, I would take it myself. Ha'ochel bisar abirim v'chulu. Also the pasuk can tell him right next to it. The Gemara darshens this in Menachos Daf Kof Yud. That ha'ochel bisar abirim, Hashem says, do I eat the flesh of fattened animals? Newsflash, I don't. So what's with all the karbanos? It's an opportunity for you. It's the Rachmanis of Hashem to take something in your place, but also you have to bring yourself to the karbon. It's not sufficient to drop off the animal. Ki ikr tzivay a karbon hu rakshi is bonein shekol ze hayom meharoi lasas legufo v'nafsho avur cheto. Says our Rebbe, very powerful words. We need to. The purpose of the karbon is for us to contemplate, to meditate on the fact that it would be fitting for this to happen to my body because of my avera. And therefore, that's what's hinted to in our pasuk. Adam ki akriv mikem. If you want to bring a karbon, it has to be what? It has to be infused with mikem. It has to be infused with you, with a sense of self. Me'atzmecha. Then, if and only then, is it a karbon la'Hashem. That could be called a karbon la'Hashem. And then, azai, and then, min ha-behema, then you have permission to bring a behema. Because then you're saying, so what part, if I'm such a holy guy, so how did I do an avera? Okay, because you gave me an animal soul, and you gave me a body. So I'm bringing this, all right, in my place. But it's infused with what? With a sense of mikam. Uve'im lav chas v'shalom, lo yeratzeh karban ha-behema bovani. We find several times in Chumash Vayikra, by Pigul, and other places where a karban is lo yeratzeh, where it's not desired. So we don't want to end up with a carbon that's not desired. Okay, so we have to bring mikam, and then it's a true carbon lasha, and then, and only then, do we have reshus, mina behema, to actually take an animal in our place. All right, so those are Rebbe's Torahs for Parshas Vayikra. Okay, questions, comments, thoughts? Thank you, Hashem, for not making us be the carbon. I think that's good. We should, you know, celebrate that. That's a good...